Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, or diagnose. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
The Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 18, coming at you live from here in Puyallup, Washington, with the coach with the most coming at you from coast to coast here at the NGW Green Room Studios at Coach's Corner Training Center. And yes, we got a great show today. Mariners won their first playoff game in over 21 years yesterday. And today I'll have my co-host Sign Guy on in here in just a minute. Of course, man, it's been a busy month for me. I'm about a minute away from getting to the studio so I can let Sign Guy and our guest into the show. So sorry for the delay, you guys. But, yeah, we got Robbie Ray on the mound today in Toronto going against Kevin Gausman for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Mariners win this game. We clinch the wild card game and on to Houston. Man, that would be a major thing in Seattle sports history. So, yes, we're looking forward to having Houston next, and that way we'll have a home playoff game at T-Mobile Park. And, today our guest is supposed to be Sherry Roy. Man, she's been in the business over 10 years. She's been all over the map. She's got quite the story. So, yeah, I'll be having her on in within the next minute. Just outside the studios, getting ready to park so I can get in there and get this show going. All right, hopefully Sign Guy's still on standby for me. Stop. And, we'll be coming at you live here in just a second. All right, just got home. Big day today. Like I said, the game will be starting here in about an hour over there in Toronto. Yeah, I'm excited to hear about today's guest. And, yep, just getting into the house now. I'm so sorry, you guys. Like I said, my goodness, had to go to Longview for 7 days, worked almost 90 hours in a week, then straight to Vegas, and then, of course, back home working on a bunch of endeavors. And, about ready to make things happen to the next level. And get things going. We're also getting some merchandise, and things are looking pretty good. So just having the computer warm up right now. And, yeah, I want to say thank you for all the feedback we've been getting from all over the country and all over the world. Of course, we sold 50 shirts at Cauliflower Alley. We're still selling shirts worldwide, France, Germany, of course, South Korea, our number one seller. And England, of course, and Japan. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. And we're getting more. We just ordered more merchandise, hoodies, hats, stickers, more shirts. So things are looking good. All right, here we go on to the studio so I can let in my co-host. Let's see, here we are. All right, yes, I'm very sorry, guys, but, yeah, very grateful for all you guys. And, yeah, we'll be getting the show started here in just a minute. On to the studio. There we go. And we have our co-host and guest, it looks like. Mr. Sign Guy, how you doing?
I'm all right. Coach, did you just fly into the studio?
I did. And do we have our guest on the line?
Well, I'm betting your arms are tired.
They are. And is this Miss Sherry Roy?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. And Sign Guy, do you have the first timer question for us?
Okay. Well, Sherry, since it's your first time on the coach's show here, I guess we'll take a page from Turnbuckle Turmoil and ask you, how did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
Oh, gosh. So probably about 14 years ago, like me and a couple friends and my cousin Adam, we went to an Impact Wrestling show that was up in Minnesota. I'm originally from St. Paul, Minnesota. But I live in Tennessee now. So, and I've been down here for a couple of years, but when I was up there, like prior to me, like even like starting wrestling or anything like that, it was just, we went to some shows and I grew up a wrestling fan and, you know, I'm a huge fan of like women's wrestling, like, and ladies like Molly Holly, who's from Minnesota, and Ivory and, Tori from like DX, you know, those, Lita, Trish, those girls, you know. And all of a sudden, I had learned that through my cousin Adam, he was a wrestler. He doesn't wrestle anymore, sadly. But he goes, hey, you want to come watch me wrestle tonight? And I was like, sure. And then he's like, oh, actually, you know what? I got a surprise for you. I want to see if you want to train with me in the ring tonight. And then we have a special guest that's going to be here tonight, too. You can work with him. And I said, who else is going to be there? And he goes, do you know who Austin Aries is from Impact Wrestling? I was like, oh, hell. Oh, my gosh. And so, like, got in the ring with him and just kind of, like, did some training and stuff like that. And then they had let me know that, like, I caught on quick. And then they said, you're going to debut tonight. And I said, I ain't got no gear. I'm not a wrestler and stuff like that. So I made my debut that actual night, even though I feel like I didn't do much in that match or whatever. But it was still a cool experience. And it lit a fire under my butt and said, you know what, I think I'm totally into this. I'm very interested in keeping this going, so I'm going to start training. So Austin Aries and later on Truth Martini, Terry Fox, and, of course, Buck Zumoff. So that's who I was trained by. So that's how that all started.
Right on.
It's simple.
What an honor. You had some great trainers. My goodness.
I would say
all right.
So.
I mean, you mentioned some of the people that you were fans of, like getting into wrestling, but what about, who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was wrestling, sports, music, or ordinary life?
I don't know. I would say probably like music wise. I mean, I always grew up like a Bon Jovi fan, and you know, I'm an 80s girl, so I love 80s music. And then later on in the 90s, that, you know, just, it's like clear, obvious, you know, getting into like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, 98 Degrees, Spice Girls. Like, I love Spice Girls, like, even to this day.
Right on.
You know, I'm a big Spice Girls fan.
Okay, nice. And then, hey, Sign, you want to just switch back and forth? You can ask the next question.
Well, Sherry, like Coach told the fans, you've wrestled all over the map. You've gone all over the place, Tennessee, Minnesota. You've been up in our neck of the woods in Oregon, I know. For someone that has experience traveling, what are some of the travel tips you would give to a young wrestler that's just now starting to hit the road?
I would say, like, start semi-local and then, like, branch your way out. If somebody does actually give you the opportunity to go further out, like, outside of your comfort zone, make sure you do a lot of, like, research on it first and see if it's something that you're comfortable with. Because in my experience, I've traveled far before, like, even to new territory and stuff like that, and then come to find out it wasn't exactly for me or whatever, and I didn't want to, like, dip too far into that and then, you know, like, go off on certain, like, horrible situations or horrible experiences that I've had, because there's going to be some horrible experiences that you wish would never ever happen, but they do, unfortunately. But of course, it's, you're gonna have fun too. Like, you get to learn, you get to go out there and like improve your craft, and you get to travel the world, or in some cases just nationally, like right here. You know, but it's still fun to be able to travel and wrestle for new companies, new states, you know, just, it's always fun, you know, and of course injuries do happen. So, you have to prepare for that, even though, like, if it makes sense, you have to prepare for it, but you're unprepared by the time it happens, I guess. You know, because you don't count on it. You always think you're that one person who's like, I'm never going to get hurt. I'm going to be the lucky one. And then all of a sudden you get hit really, really hard.
Yeah,
so
you probably don't
want to
take that
every five injuries
in my career.
Guy
who gets hurt.
I've suffered five injuries in my career. In my 13 years, I've gotten hurt five times. One of them, two of them happened on the same night. So I've gotten a concussion in my life, in my career. I've gotten I tore the ligaments out of one ankle. I tore the tendons out of the other ankle. And then two of the injuries that happened at the same time, I cracked my right elbow and I bruised my hip. I got a contusion on my hip. I practically, like, Macho Man the floor. Like, it was pretty bad.
Wow.
Those
do sound painful. My personal best is three brain injuries in a single night. But I don't recommend anyone trying to break the record.
No, definitely. Okay, and then, yeah, I see that you also go by the Queen of the Black Garden. What were some of your other characters that you've used?
I would say that's like my first, actually, it wasn't even like a Black Garden is actually Black Garden. It's a rock band from Detroit, Michigan. I'm actually born in Michigan, so that's one of my favorite bands to listen to. If I had to compare them to anybody, it would be Bring Me the Horizon, and they sound just like them. The lead singer, Armando, he goes, wow, you're really the Queen of the Black Garden, and I was just like, you know what? I love that. So I stuck with that. A lot of people,
I
like,
know that
they're like, what the heck is this? Like, what's a Black Garden?
Really,
like, what's
cool.
That about?
Yeah, it's cool and unique. So that, yeah, that's sweet. Sign Guy?
Well, we know that you have, of course, wrestled, but there's a lot of different roles in professional wrestling, and some of those go overlooked, underappreciated. One of those, of course, being the ring announcers that are usually the face of the company. Who are some of the ring announcers that you've worked with over the years that you think may not get the credit you deserve?
I myself have actually given it a shot a couple of times. Up in Earlham, Iowa, and they had asked. I was asked to ring announce one night because they had like three ladies wrestling that night, and they were just like, well, we need a ring announcer because the guy that was scheduled to be here tonight, he ain't here. And I was just like, okay, cool. And so, like, I thought I was a nervous wreck at first, but when I finally got out there, I was just like, I don't want to be this boring thing in the ring. So I tried to, like, build my own character as a ring announcer and not just stand there and be like, whatever, like just stand there. I tried to get that depth in my voice, that range in my voice, and so pretty much like the NXT ring announcer and stuff like that. So I was just like, I got to get my voice up there because I don't want to sound like a pipsqueak. I don't want to come across
okay.
as annoying.
Now, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Definitely. Well, high school-wise, I played flag football, adapted hockey, and I played a lot of soccer and volleyball, like softball. So in soccer, I was the goaltender. In softball, I was either third base or shortstop or catcher. I was on a bowling league with my dad, and then volleyball, like my friend Sue got me into that, like a family friend of mine got me into volleyball. She's a coach, so she was like, man, you'd be perfect for this. Like, you're sporty already, why not? Like, my dad is actually the sporty one in the family because, like, he plays all kinds of, but he actually played for the Buffalo Bisons baseball team in the 70s.
Sweet.
And then my mom was never really sporty.
Well, you had some good genes. You know, you were playing third base, shortstop, and catcher. That's some of the hardest positions out there.
Yeah, I just never did pitcher because I'm like, you know, I get that my throw is accurate, you know, especially when you're the catcher. It's got to be accurate. But as a pitcher, probably not. Like when I need it to count, it won't count, I guess.
Okay. Sign?
Well, Sherry, when you wrestle, especially being in the Tennessee area, a lot of those fans are holdover fans from when wrestling was a territorial system, and they've been longtime fans. They've been very, very passionate about their wrestling, and some of those people get very volatile when their favorite wrestler is in jeopardy, or when their least favorite wrestler does anything at all. We know some of the horror stories out there, but have you personally ever been involved in a situation where the crowd turned a little bit too aggressive for your tastes?
Actually, there was one time. I don't think I want to name the promotion or where it's at, but I'll tell you, it is in Tennessee. And another one is in Texas, actually. But the one in Texas, I think it scared me more to death because I had actually overheard, or I didn't overhear, but a fan did, you know, like where the fans sit by the backboard that's adjoined by, like, the locker room. And all of a sudden I got approached by this fan, and he goes, they're planning to hurt somebody tonight, almost like Rollerball or something, like the movie Rollerball, where they said that they're planning to hurt someone. And then all of a sudden the fan approaches me and goes, I don't know who they're talking about, but they're planning on hurting somebody tonight. And I'm like, I'm trying to warn as many of the wrestlers tonight as possible, except for the person that actually kicked it off. You know, I don't want to give it away or whatever. I don't want to, like, look like a snitch. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait, they're trying to hurt somebody? Well, I'm gonna keep an eye out too. And all of a sudden I get in the ring and I'm the target. And so that was the night where I got hurt two times, and they just, like, they threw me out of the ring, and I cleared the top rope, didn't even touch it. There was nothing for me to hang on to. The dude just, like, they just picked me up and tossed me out, and there's no mats on the floor or nothing. And I was just like, wow, okay. So, and I felt like I was on bed rest for like 3.5 days because every muscle ever, every bone ever was like on fire. And so my phone started blowing up from fans of that show and the other wrestlers of that show, and they were all harassing me, talking about, that's what you get, and that's why we, like, cracked your skull open. I'm like, it wasn't my skull. Like, if that was my skull, I'd be actually dead right now. But it was just my arm and my hip. It, you know, it felt like, I don't know what a broken hip or a dislocated hip feels like, but I feel like that was close enough. And then the one in Tennessee, I think there was a show where this fan had was talking too much crap to all the heels, and there were me and one other guy were his targets, I guess. We pissed him off just enough for him to continue his. So I was the first match of the night, and the guy he has chew in his cheek, and he was like spitting, he was spitting it at me, and he was like swearing at me like he wanted to kill me. And all of a sudden the main event rolls around and the other dude comes out, and he's like dark and broody, and he pisses you off. He's doing his job. And then all of a sudden the fan pulled a knife on him, to the point where like he didn't like stab him or nothing, but he pulled the knife out, and it caused a lot of the wrestlers in the back to have to come out and escort him out, and they removed the knife so that way nothing ever happened, you know, outside or whatever it was. But they escorted him out. Then they posted a status on Facebook, and it said, "We appreciate our fans and thank you for coming out. However, weapons are not allowed inside these shows, and the fan that had done it, he can't come back." And then there was like three or four other promotions in this vicinity who know who the fan is, and he goes to like literally all the shows around here, including Georgia and Alabama and Mississippi, and he's not allowed to go to any of their shows either for the same reason. Because, like, they were just like, if he did that there, then he ain't coming here. Like, no. It's like, it's just wrestling.
Wow.
And the heels and the faces, they're doing their job. And he took it to the extreme.
Exactly. Wow. And then that sort of goes with my next standard question. What's your self-defense background?
I don't know. I don't think I never studied, like, jiu-jitsu or Thai or karate or anything like that. I never took any self-defense classes, like, so I feel kind of strange about that, being a woman, and have never taken any classes.
Well, at least you got pro,
as far
pro
as that's what those situations go and stuff like that, the best thing I can do is, like, remove myself from that situation and hope for the best, because I'm not trying to infuriate him even more than he already is.
Yes, that's definitely a good idea. Brother Sign.
Like, I've heard of wrestlers actually being attacked by fans, and then the wrestler gets them back or whatever. It's like, hey, it's fair game. You hopped in the ring, or it's fair game. You hopped the rail. I'm going to get you. And I'm not responsible for this incident or whatever.
Exactly.
But I'm not one of those people, because I
have a law
on
the books,
like,
where if you have a spectator that gets onto the performance stage, and in our case that would be the ring, they are fair game and open for someone to be executing self-defense at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because we don't know, like the one dude, he had a knife. How do I know that his intention wasn't to go up there and stab somebody, or like poke them with it, or cut them or whatever, or if he's just, it's just for show and he's trying to scare somebody half to death, and it's, yeah, we don't know. How do we know that the guy is not going to start punching on somebody and really hurting somebody? So, but we made sure that we took the knife away from the dude and we kicked him out the show and stuff like that, because I was in the back at the time. Like I said, I was the first to wrestle. I had the first match of that night. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the night, it's like a 2.5-hour show or whatever, give or take. And all of a sudden, like, everybody in the back was just like, yo, what just happened? You know, we see this big scuffle out there. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, word travels really quick. And they're just like, there was a fan out there, and he got hostile. You know, we were like, oh, you know, not what we want to hear. We're trying to have fun and keep it safe. Like, you know,
absolutely.
After all, there's kids in the audience, too. You know, there's kids out there.
Exactly. Sign, did you have
do you have a favorite memory where you had a really good experience with a fan that sticks out to your mind?
Probably up in North Dakota, where they did this huge giveaway, and it was and I've been a part of a couple of shows where they gave stuff away to. It was like a benefit show for you know, special needs people of all ages, and basically the whole audience was made up of people with special needs, and it's always fun to do that and raise money for a great cause. And even for, like, schools and school supplies and sports equipment and stuff like that, it's always wonderful to give back. And just when we do giveaways, and then all of a sudden you walk up to somebody and they were like, here, I'm giving you this this action figure, this sports jersey that is easily $200 or $300, but it's yours for free. And then they're just like, they start crying and they hug you like they know you and stuff like that. It's super cute. Like, there was this little girl that I feel like she made me totally cry about it, because I just randomly kind of, I had already wrestled that night, and then I sat down in a random chair. I don't know these people. And all of a sudden, the little girl had to do a double take, like, hey, you know, it's cool you're sitting here kind of look. And then all of a sudden, she looks back again, and she goes, hey, wait a minute, you're one of those wrestler chicks. And I was just like, yeah, hi. And then, like, I had my hood on and everything, kind of just chilling, just relaxing now, watching the rest of the show. And I had this box in my hands. It's an action figure. It's Charlotte Flair. And I give it to her, and I'm like, man, you're so sweet. Your reaction was priceless. I just got to give this one to you. And she started crying. And her dad was like, oh, my gosh, for real? And I was like, yeah, for real. Like, well,
nice. Awesome story. So what's some of the most memorable matches you've been in or seen?
That I've been in, I would say maybe, well, there was like an all-women's show for this promotion that's here in Tennessee. It's called No Limit Pro. And dear friends of mine, they actually run this promotion, and I'm very fortunate that I've been part of it. I was part of the all-women's show to crown their first women's champion, their empress, the empress in charge is what they call it. And instead of a belt, she's wearing a crown. And of course, our women's champion is Mama Hannah, and her husband also wrestles as well. So very proud of her and her accomplishments. And so I was fortunate to be part of that, and I wrestled this lovely lady. Her name is Laura Liu, and unfortunately I lost, but it's all right. I do know that No Limit Pro's next show is November 27th. They're celebrating their second year. I'm
right
proud
on.
Of them. And you
can
check
about,
them out on like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Okay. What about some of the most memorable matches you've seen?
What, like independence or like
or
shows and stuff?
Anything on TV, live, video, whatever.
Well, because I know that I had actually just watched Level Up from NXT yesterday, and I thought that probably my favorite match of the night was Kushida. You know, I love Kushida. So I was pleased to see that, and it was, like, refreshing. And then I'd probably say, like, I grew up with rivalries, you know, like Undertaker, Triple H, Stone Cold, you know, Hardy Boys, Edge of Christian, Dudley Boys, you know. So I think, but
yeah,
as far as, like, the independent-wise, I would say some of the ladies that I've been watching that I'm, like, big fans about, you know, like, I like Ruthless Lala. You know, she's, like, the women's champion right now, so I'm proud of her. And guys like Jason Xavier, I say he's the champion as well right now for No Limit Pro. And then Zach Austin and like Austin Wright, I would say, like, of course, Big Man Carnage. Yeah, I gotta say, Big Man Carnage would probably kill me if I don't. Of course, there's just a lot going on. I don't know. Like, these are some of my favorites here in this area. I mean, even like, Alabama, I would say probably, like, James Hardy. Like, I'm a big fan of James Hardy.
Okay, and then that sort of went into my standard question of who are some of your favorite people to work. Anybody you left off that list?
I have a few, like, dream matches too. You know, and then of course, people I like working is probably BB Cook. She's from Mississippi. I've been in some mixed tag matches as well. You know, so being able to tag with DJ Brown. Got to do that, and that was my first match in Georgia, so that was a lot of fun. And
okay,
like Charlie Punk, got to wrestle her a few times, and it's always fun.
All right. Right on. We got a lot of homework to do. You gave us a lot of names to look up. So thank you. Sign guy?
Oh, in wrestling, we know most common is, of course, the standard professional wrestling match, one fall, standard rules. But there are a lot of different stipulation matches that pop up, steel cage matches, strap matches, barroom brawl matches. There's dozens upon dozens of them. What are some of the favorite stipulation matches that you've been involved with so far?
We did a no-holds barred battle royal one time, and I had actually taken a hit from a light tube. So that was a bit different for me. I got hit a few times in that match with something, like a kendo stick, a light tube, and even but I feel like that's about as extreme as I feel like I would ever get. And that happened about 3 years ago in Iowa. And there's this promotion up there. It's run by Levi McDaniel. And he's a dear friend of mine. So I let him hit me. he got lucky. So I should return the favor next time I see him. That was my first time taking something like that, though.
I don't recommend taking too many light tubes because those things can be brutal.
They do, and I have people concerned. My mom was in the crowd, too, and she was sitting there. My mom, my sister, and my brother, they were all sitting in the crowd, and I can hear my mom. She's over there, she's calling me Cherie, which is, I'm sitting there, I know that that's not, my real name or nothing, but I don't want to, so she's sitting there calling me that, and it's weird because she's my mom, but, so out of, 1,000 voices in the crowd, the only voice I can hear is hers. And she was like, hey, are you okay? Are you crying? I'm like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. She's like, don't lie to me. I'm your mama. I'm like, trust me. I'm okay. I'll be okay. But I didn't want to tell her, when I got hit in my back, though, it felt like somebody, slapped a new tattoo. And if you don't have a tattoo, it probably feels like getting slapped on a sunburn.
Damn. Okay, and then. I got
I kind of like my mom a bit.
Okay. One of our standard questions is a short one, so I'll do two in a row. I'm sure Sign Guy would love to know, and the fans would love to know, what your favorite coffee to drink is.
I don't even drink. I don't drink coffee. I don't even drink pop either. I'm pretty boring.
True.
I think I drink. I drink water, smoothies, juice, milk, everything but coffee and pop.
Okay,
I don't drink alcohol either, so.
We get that answer
probably
around 50% of the time now. Most people aren't drinking coffee, it seems like. All right, my next one is, what schools do you suggest people?
So I know that Buck Zumoff, I don't want to dip too far into his story, but unfortunately his school is down because of his current situation. But probably Truth Martini in Detroit, Michigan, and Once in a Blue Moon, little pop-ups, you'll get to meet guys like I did, like Chris Sabin, Alex Shelley, Petey Williams, Sanjay Dutt. So you'll definitely, you'll gain the... You'll gain a lot of knowledge and experience from all of them. And I would say if you're in Minnesota, go the school of professional wrestling, guys like Ken Anderson, Molly Holly, and Sean Devari, those are your coaches there. And if you know a guy up there in the upper Midwest, there's a guy named Justin D. Xavier, JDX, he's up there. He's always at the camp. It's always great. Truth Martini in Michigan. Chris Jordan, he's in Minnesota. I think it's in Chanhassen, Minnesota. I think if you go out to Pro Wrestling Battlegrounds, that's in Minnesota, and it's Michael Harrington. Sorry. Down here, I'm trying to think who. UConn Jack, No Limit Pro, obviously, and your coach would be Mike Cobb. Well, he runs the promotion, but he's also a trainer. So.
All right, nice. We appreciate all those suggestions. Sign guy?
Now, if someone came to you today and they were thinking of getting into the professional wrestling business, what is your best advice to them, whether it's to continue with the dream or maybe that it's not right for them? What would your advice be to let people know how to consider if they should follow the path to get into the business?
Well, of course, you know, you got to show people that tough love. Tell them that it's not going to be easy. Wrestling is very cutthroat, and that's definitely not a lie. Like, they're spot on. It's the honesty. There's going to be moments where you're like, I got this. This is great. You know, I'm doing fantastic. Momentum is on my side. And then there's going to be times where it breaks you down and you feel like you just want to quit. And so I've had moments like that where I'm just like, that's it. I'm done. And then there's other times where like, hey, momentum is back on my side. And it just took a little bit of encouragement from great people and, you know, don't give up now and, you know, stuff like that. So it's kind of like a back and forth thing, like a war within yourself. Like, it's going great. It's not going so hot. And I'm going to quit now. It's going great again. Things are picking up for me. No, this is it. Definitely cut the cake kind of thing. So I guess it differs from person to person. So you're still going to, the great things are going to happen and scary things are going to happen. But, you know,
okay,
you should always follow your dreams.
Okay. And then who were some of your toughest opponents you faced?
Let's see. B.B. Cook is old school, kind of like 80s old school. And I don't know. I think maybe like Mystic, she's from Minnesota. I wrestled her dozens of times, and I feel like she's a challenge. She's a bit on the taller side. She's much taller. She's got a whole foot on me. I'm not kidding, because I'm 5 feet. She's 6 feet, and it's always fun wrestling her. But we're really great friends and stuff like that. So it's always great to see. And but there's a lady in this neck of the woods here, because Mystic is from Minnesota, but Charlie Punk is from down here. B.B. Cook is from Mississippi, so she's from down here. I would say M.J. Rawlings, you know, she's doing good. I would definitely love to wrestle her some more, and so that should be a lot of fun, too, in the future. I would love to wrestle Mama Hannah in the future. So.
All right, but, and then what else do you got coming up?
So October 15th. There's a show, it's called TWX, it's Total Wrestling Explosion, and it is, it's in Olive Branch, Mississippi, and that show starts at about 6:30, and tickets are $10, and kids under 5 are free, and it's sponsored by Papa John's Pizza. And I know that TWX, they got special guests coming up for future shows. Like, they got Jake Crist from Impact that's going to be there. And then
sweet.
Like Ricky Reyes, probably known from Lucha Underground as Cortez Castro. And then Sean Hernandez from Impact. So it's always great to see familiar faces like those guys. Like, I met Sean, as I was training. So I've known Sean now for about 14 years now. And then, so it's really
all
cool,
right.
To just...
Cool. And then how do people get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook as Cherie Roy, as well as Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. They're all like the same link or the real HCR. There's this app. It's called VK, like Victoria. So VK. It's basically like Facebook, but I was introduced to it by Gerard Way. He's the lead singer of My Chemical Romance. He's on there. So there's all kinds of celebrities that are on VK, and I made one as well. So it's a really cool app to check out. They do speak English on it. But, of course, the app originated in Russia. But there's a lot of people who speak English on it as well. It's just like Facebook, really.
Okay.
And then, of course, like YouTube and stuff like that.
It's been exciting hearing your story so far. Today's a big day in Northwest sports history. We've got the Mariners about to take on the Toronto Blue Jays and hopefully win this wild card series. But anyway, Sign, do you have any more questions for her?
Yeah. Now, I know one of the things that pro wrestlers, especially in the COVID era, we're doing to make ends meet and make up some extra revenue is merchandise. It's become probably as important as it ever has been, and it's always been fairly important at the independent level. Do you have a whole lot of merchandise that you've been able to come up with to sell at shows?
All right, so I have T-shirts right now, and I'm working on a line for baseball caps. And, of course, I got 8x10s available, and you can get them at shows, or you can just message me on any one of those apps and just you can order those. They're only 10 bucks, and for sure, like, you just hit me up and, you know, let's make a deal. So.
Awesome.
I know I don't have too much. You know, some people, they got, like, wristbands. They got the whole nine yards. They got, like, headbands and banners and everything. I got baseball caps. I'm thinking about doing posters. Somebody even asked me to do stickers and buttons and stuff like that. So that'll be cool.
Right on. All right. Do you have anything else you'd like to plug or promote?
Just support indie wrestling, support wrestling in general, and stay safe at them shows, and enjoy the environment, and just let your favorite wrestlers know, you know, what they mean to you and how big of an influence they have on you. And of course, like I said, No Limit Pro is definitely one to look out for down here. Then you got Tap Wrestling, Tennessee All Pro Wrestling. Southern Wrestling Federation is down here, the SWF. Then you got Rockin' Wrestling Federation, so RWF. So those are some of the promotions in this area. You definitely check out, and you know, great shows, wonderful people. Sean Hoodrich also has a promotion down here. It's called Fair Chance Wrestling, so check him out. He too, is a very accomplished wrestler as well, so... definitely, like, check him out, too. Lots going on down here.
Right on. Hey, Sign, you got anything else?
I think that'll do it for me today, Coach.
Okay, yes, man. There you go, everyone. The Queen of the Black Garden, Cherie Roy. Man, it's been an honor and a pleasure, and we're so grateful to have you on, and we wish you all the luck in the world. And, you know, one thing... Turnbuckle Turmoil, I'm co-host of that show with Sign Guy, with over 1,700 shows in 10 years. And all the shows I've heard are been a host on, I think you've gave the most shout outs to different wrestlers all over the world. So that's unique. And I'm grateful that you gave us all those shout outs. So myself and the fans have a chance to check all those people out. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you guys for having me.
You're welcome. So we really appreciate you, Sherry. We got to get on to our baseball report so we can get on to the Mariners here soon. So we appreciate you, and I think we're going to have you back on Turnbuckle too.
Oh, that would be
absolutely
awesome. Thank you. I'm a very huge baseball fan. I'm a Minnesota Twins fan.
Okay, yeah, and they just missed it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Little known
and
fact,
did it reach?
Sir Oliver Humperdinck once did an interview on Turnbuckle Turmoil from a Minnesota Twins game.
Okay, and I have something in common with the Minnesota Twins, too. When I was a kid, our PCL AAA team was the Tacoma Twins. So I loved those days back in the 70s with our coach Cal Ermer back in the day.
What's really cool, and here's an interesting fact, too, is that their mascot's name is TC. And TC, if you're not from the upper Midwest or heard of Minnesota, TC stands for Twin Cities. And that's Minneapolis and St. Paul. They're Twin Cities. Same population, same size. So he's a big teddy bear named TC.
Okay, yeah, I have not been there yet. I'm going to have to get over there. All right, well, thank
you fantastic.
So much. Like I say, appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
All right, there you go. All right, Sign. Looks like we're going to have to do some more segments of the Seattle Mariners and Cincinnati Reds organizational reports. We got more time. But...
The big news from yesterday that we promised the fans today.
I found
it's
out.
It's been
yeah.
announced. It's been confirmed. It's been signed. David Bell will return in 2023 as the Cincinnati Reds manager, although five of his coaching staff were given their releases and will have to seek employment elsewhere next season.
Well, I'm fine with that because I really enjoy David Bell as a Mariner, and I truly believe he's a winner. So I'm fine with him sticking around and getting another shot.
I mean, I enjoy the Bell family.
You just broke up. What's happening? Are you still there, Sign Guy? I'm not sure if he got
machine era, and of course Gus Bell, one of the more popular people from the previous generation.
Exactly, and then you know, of course, I've seen the statistics with the Castellani family being in charge, and it doesn't look too good in their favor.
When the man said, "Where else are you going to go?" and then the Reds had the worst live attendance since 1984, I think they pretty much answered his question.
I know, my goodness.
Yeah, why would you say, where else are you going to go? That's like when Mayor Nichols says, we don't need the Sonics, we have the opera here, and then he never even got out of the primaries when he was coming up for re-election. Not even out of the primaries once he said that sentence. Why would Castellani say that? Why would he antagonize the fans and taunt them and basically say, you have to come to Reds games because you got nothing else? They proved him otherwise.
I know. Exactly. But, hey, things
well,
are looking
we
up for the
Reds.
Go
on for hours and hours about how Castellani butchered this team and hurt their chances, and especially a horrible, horrible, horrible start when they were 0 for like 16 or something ridiculous like that. But we could probably cut it down to an hour and a half today, Coach. So how do you trade all that talent, all those players away, and you have this team that's going to be struggling, you have injuries on top of the players that get traded away, and then you antagonize your fan base the way Castellini did? There were chants of sell the team, at all the home games, they had organized groups of fans that were going to try to scale up into the like places fans aren't supposed to go and hold up banners saying, trade the team, Frank. there's all kinds of protests going on. He might be the least popular owner since Marge shot.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, I think things are looking up for him, like, in the next year or two. They've got a solid minor league. Man, they got, like, 24 Mariners in their organization, and most of them are solid players. So I'm looking for good things in the future for those guys.
Now, of course, the Reds didn't finish as horribly as they could have been. They turned things around a great deal. They were mediocre after about May, but hopefully they don't go into a promising season and then half the promising players get traded. But with Castellani in charge, that's the fear of every Reds fan.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, like I say, we're going to have to get together for our YouTube reports so we can cover everything. But I think it's very substantial we get on to the Mariners now because they're about to clinch this wild card game today with Robbie Ray coming back home to Toronto to shut them down again.
Okay, nice. Now, last night on the Bound for Glory, Coach, did you catch up on it and see that Frankie Kazarian came back to the X Division and he won the X Division title in his first match in over 7 years with Impact?
No, I didn't, but it is a fact that Frankie Kazarian is in the NGW green room where he's saying he's wondering where the green room is while a green light is shining on his head in Cauliflower Alley.
I remember that. That's exactly what happened in the green room. Yeah, he hadn't been with Impact in years, came back, and he beat Speedball Mike Bailey last night on Bound for Glory, of course, Impact's biggest show of the year every year.
Okay, yeah, I didn't get a chance to check out 8 hours of wrestling like you wanted me to yesterday since I'm on overdrive doing all the stuff I've been doing to get my worldwide brand out there in the NGW green room.
Now, did you get a chance to see that Jordan Grace and Masha Slamovich match?
I didn't get to see a drop of anything.
That's terrible. Now, you're going to need to hide your eyes when they do that pile driver on the ring apron. That looked brutal. I've seen some brutal-looking things take place. I've been in fear of people's necks before, but that took it to a whole new level. That was brutal looking.
Goodness.
Brutal.
Okay. One of these times when I get a chance to check it out, I will. But let's go on to yesterday's game. We shut them out and shut them down 4-0 with the former Cincinnati Red. Luis Castillo was on fire yesterday. 7 1/3 innings. Only gave up 6 hits, no runs, no walks, and he struck out 5. And Munoz, man, he closed the door at the end there. Inning and 2/3. Struck out 2 to close the game. So, yeah, that was a great game yesterday. Cal Raleigh with a 2-run home run, and Edward Gino Suarez, the former Red, 2-for-4 with 2 RBIs.
Jerry Wilson once set me on fire with the fireball. Hopefully Castillo will recover from having been set on fire.
And then didn't Jerry Wilson retire?
He did. Once COVID hit, he, of course, a cancer survivor, his immune system was at risk there, so he was more or less forced to shut down things. But, of course, Buck Sexton purchased everything that was left, the ring and the setup and all of that, and that's what Warrior Pro Wrestling is today.
Okay. All right, the Mariners are about to get ready to take on the Toronto Blue Jays here in just a minute in Toronto. Kevin Gausman is on the mound, and he will be facing Julio Rodriguez to lead off the game. Mariners lineup is Rodriguez in center, France at first, Gino Suarez at third, Cal Raleigh at cleanup, Haniger at right field. Batting sixth is Frazier at second, Santana at DH, Kelnick is back at left field, and Crawford at shortstop again. Things are looking good for the Mariners. We got to clinch this series today, man.
Okay, nice. Do we know if Gorgeous Michelle Starr is at the game? Because we know the gorgeous one, a huge baseball fan, and he's Canadian.
He is, but you know, Toronto is a long ways from where he lives.
That's true, but if he's going to cheer for his home country, he's only got one choice, Coach.
But he's also a Mariners fan, so I'm sure he's torn.
No. He's a Dodgers fan.
I know he's mainly a Dodgers fan, yes.
Yeah, he does attend Mariner games throughout the course of the year, but I believe he might be cheering for Toronto. I don't know. We'll have to inquire with Gorgeous Michelle Starr and then report back.
Exactly. And then, like I say, Julio Rodriguez leading off the game. Looks like he's the American League Rookie of the Year this year. set records for the Mariners with 28 home runs as a rookie. Also, Cal Raleigh set a record for catchers with the most home runs also. And Gino had 31 home runs last year.
Now, they haven't announced the Rookie of the Year yet, have they, Coach?
I think, though, that Rodriguez is the favorite.
But not officially yet announced.
Okay, well, we'll see. And then what's your predictions for today's game?
I think somebody's going to try to steal third base, and then they'll get caught in a rundown and tagged out. I'm going to guess in the fifth inning.
Okay, what about the final score?
7-3 Toronto.
Okay, 5-1 Mariners. All right, that's a wrap. It looks like we got to get to this Mariners game here in just a moment. We'll be back.
Okay, nice. Now, folks, last night on the Battle of the Belts, they had Pac defend not only his trio six-man title, but also immediately go into a defense of his Mid-Atlantic Championship. He had to defend two titles over the course of what was two technically different shows on the same network. I don't know if that's ever been done in the history of professional wrestling before, where you defend two titles in two separate matches over the course of two distinctly different shows back-to-back like that.
Goodness.
That could be a record.
Exactly. And was Willie Mack on the 8 Hours of Wrestling last night?
Willie Mack wasn't. He was in the NGW green room recently, but Willie Mack wasn't on anything that I saw, although it would have been nice if he was.
If you noticed in the last 2 weeks, he was on TV like 5 or 6 days in a row with all the different shows going.
Willie Mack, very proficient. Of course, he was with Impact until very recent times. He left there a couple of months ago, but hopefully he'll pop up as a regular for somebody sometime soon. Great, great talent.
Exactly. All right, let's give our plugs. You can check me at Coach Mike Jones, the coach of the most, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for interviews from wrestlers and celebrities all over the world. Also, the Seattle Mariners and Cincinnati Reds organizational report. And don't forget, every Saturday Pacific, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast. And then my number one sponsor, A-Plus Payless Handyman Services, for all your needs. No job too big or small. We thank you guys so much. And Sign Guy, how do they get a hold of you?
Usually they reach out and try to grab me as I'm making my entrance through the curtain. But you can follow me on the Twitters, at Sign Guy HPW, over on the Gram, the Book of Faces. There's all kinds of ways out there. Chicken Bob, also available on all social media platforms. And you can go to the YouTubes, /TheSignGuy77, and you can find all the Sign of the Times there, matches, interviews, all types of things. Chicken Bob's in a lot of that as well. He's very prolific for a chicken on social media.
Exactly. And then we got Sign of the Times 550 coming up.
It is downloading as we speak. It should be ready within the next, hour and a half, hopefully, if everything goes well, which it should. Why would we think otherwise?
Exactly.
And then, of course, tomorrow on Turnbuckle Turmoil, we continue on with Super Fan Month, which has been very exciting so far, and we've only gotten 1 week into it. But tomorrow we have John Crother. He is a longtime wrestling fan and historian, and he is also the author of a series of graphic novel autobiographies by professional wrestlers. He helped bring to life the graphic novel autobiographies of Nikolai Volkoff, Ricky Morton, Bruno Sammartino, The Killer Bees, several others. He recently came out with the autobiography of the Bushwhackers, and I understand he has a announcement to make with us tomorrow on a new project that he's starting, Coach. That should be very, very exciting.
Definitely, and very awesome. And I'm proud to announce that I will have the original Glow Girl, Sunny the California Girl, will be on my show next Saturday, the 15th. So I'm proud and honored for that. Do you have anything else you'd like to plug or promote, Mr. Sign?
Well, on the 23rd of December, that very same Sunny the California Girl will come to Turnbuckle Turmoil. She's making the rounds of the interview shows. She's already done Lyrical Spit with Debossy, I believe, a couple of different times.
Yes, I really enjoyed those. All
absolutely.
Right,
she's going to be a great guest for anybody that gets her. Sunny, I believe, part of those big Glow cruises where all the original Glow girls meet and they do like a 3-day cruise and do meet and greets with the fans and so forth and so on. Those have become very popular the last few years.
For sure. Awesome. All right. Is there anything else, Sign, before I let us go?
Now, when Roman Reigns tells Sami Zayn that he's in charge of Jey Uso and he doesn't want Jey Uso to be a hothead anymore, well, how does that exactly work? Because Roman Reigns is the head of the table, the tribal chief, but Sami Zayn is just an honorary Uso, where Jey Uso is a full-fledged Uso. So how does the hierarchy work there? Does the honorary Uso trump an Uso, or does the Uso fall down to the honorary Uso at the behest of the tribal chief? Where's the hierarchy, Coach?
My goodness, I couldn't tell you. They got me baffled. But anyway, I want to thank you, Sign, for coming on and joining me, Miss Sherry Roy, all the fans. We appreciate you guys and love you so much. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.
Okay. She was really going strong last night. Jade Cargill has almost a year on that TBS title. Who's going to stop Jade Cargill?
Maybe Thunder Rosa.
Well, I believe she's left the company, but she could come back and take it at some point. You never know in professional wrestling.
You're right. All right, Sign Guy, got to let us go, brother. Thank you.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you tomorrow, bright and early at the stroke of 1 p.m.
See you, brother.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones.